About that. Okay. I want to get into the message today. And what I'm really doing here, I'm giving you some nuts and bolts for calibrating your 2020 vision. We are about to embark on a very unique time in history. Remember when, how many remember Y2K? Remember when we were changing from 1999 to 2000, and they told us our computers were going to quit working, and we needed to stock up, fill up our places, our cellars if we had them. Not too many of us in Arizona have cellars, but to stock up because everything was going to fall apart as we moved from 1999 to 2000. Well, guess what? It didn't fall apart. But I believe this. I believe it's been, Holy Spirit has confirmed it in my heart. You're hearing it from Pastor Mike. You're hearing it from other pastors and preachers. I believe 2020 is going to be one of the most unique years. And it's not going to be about gloom and doom. It's going to be about hope and God's glory and God's presence. Just think. You're living in the only time in history where there's going to be a year 2020 that correlates to our vision, 2020 vision. So I believe it's going to be a very unique year. So here's a little assignment for you before I get into my message. When I get to the end of my message today, I'm going to ask you to have a clear vision of something you want God to do in 2020 in your life. Now, I'm going to limit it. God's not limited, but I'm going to limit this to one, and you'll see why when we get to that part of my message this morning. Proverbs 29 and 18, most of us are very familiar with it, says, "Where there is no vision, that people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." Now, that's a great statement, but I want to just tell you this morning that not just any vision will do. We've got to get clear vision. And I'm going to give you some tools this morning to calibrate your 2020 vision. If you can't see it clearly, you will sabotage it, and you won't be able to attain it. But as we move into this season, moving toward 2020, then we want to have clear vision. So I want to give you some points this morning. And you won't have time to write all of these down, but you can go back and listen later, or you can get the notes, whichever that you want, or all of them. Here's the science. This is what neuroscience is telling us and taught us. And this is what the results of brain scan shows as it relates to vision. Number one, visualization brings about actual physical change in your brain. Now, your brain doesn't know if it's positive or negative. It just adjusts, calibrates to what you're giving it to calibrate to. So actual visualization, having a vision, visualizing it, actually changes your brain. There's a very interesting kind of a proverb kind of thing in neuroscience that says, if you change your mind, you can change your brain. Now, that's interesting because Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I just became dyslexic, but chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Change your mind and you can change your brain. Now, our brain gets programmed, and I don't have a lot of time to get into that this morning, but I want to show you how to calibrate your brain. Number two, the brain assimilates mental pictures whether the stimulus is actually the optic nerve, something you see, or imagined. Your brain doesn't know the difference between what you imagine in your mind and what you actually experience in sight. So the brain doesn't know. That's why Hollywood works. That's why movies work. You know they're not real, but your brain doesn't know the difference. So you know they're not going to really die, but you still have a reaction. You still get excited, or you still have tenseness, because the brain doesn't know. That's why the Bible says, cast down vain imaginations. Bible doesn't say cast down imagination. It says cast down vain imagination, because vain imaginations can restructure the way that your brain works. So the renewing of the mind can actually recalibrate the brain and bring about transformation. Number three, when you repeat a vision of successfully attaining a goal, the act programs neural networks, neuronal pathways, to etch the experience more strongly into your brain. Now, here's something that we're experiencing and learning in mental health. Too often we have been focused on the past, and all we're really doing is recreating and making the past experience deeper and deeper into our system. But in new science, the new work is letting you see a future instead of just dwelling on your past. It's amazing what happens to your brain when you get a new vision and you get a new purpose and you step into your passion. Okay, number four, mental visualization of complex movement can actually improve performance. This is what athletes do. This is what dancers do. This is what actors do. They revisualize over and over and over complex moves until it becomes muscle memory, cellular memory into your body, and it makes it much more applicable. Number five, brain scans have established the fact that thoughts cause physical change in your brain. Now, that can be negative thoughts. It's going to change the way your brain functions, the way it's wired. Or it can be positive thoughts. Literally rewires and changes your brain. We're talking about calibrating your vision. Number six, repetition. The neural networks dedicated to your vision must be renewed and repeated regularly, or they will be eliminated. You'll lose them. It's like a good example is learning a new language. I worked on learning Spanish for longer than I want to tell you, because it doesn't click in my brain like it ought to. I was doing pretty good till I moved to Puerto Rico. They do not speak Spanish. They speak Puerto Rican, okay? It's a totally different thing, and it was really messing with my brain. But anybody that's ever tried to learn a new language knows if you don't use it, you lose it. So your vision must be something that you calibrate every day. The best times to do that, according to neuroscience, is when you go to bed at night and when you first wake up in the morning. If you renew your vision, revisit your vision over and over, right before you go to sleep is the best time, and right when you first wake up, because you're between consciousness and subconsciousness. And that's when you have the greatest access to your subconscious mind. Okay, number seven, conscious incorporation of the new vision into an ongoing story to be ultimately metabolized as part of the self. Otherwise, you will lose the vision. Now, here's where a lot of people get tripped up on a new vision. It's not a continuation of your old self. You see, if you're trying to do something new, your brain is going to be resistant. The brain wants to follow the pattern that is most familiar. And so the brain loves to be able to function without working. So it wants to just follow what is familiar. So here's some of the language that you'll hear yourself use when you're trying to have a new vision, trying to get to a new place, and it's not a continuation of yourself. You will say things like, that's just not me. That's not who I am. That's not part of how I grew up. And your brain is resistant to that new image, that new place, because it's not a continuation of yourself. Here's where the Bible helps us in this. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am. That was pretty weak. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say, let the weak say, I'm going to be strong. It doesn't say, I'm working on being strong. It doesn't say, I want to be strong. It doesn't say, I wish I was strong. It says, let the weak say, I am strong. So here's what, you're moving from going to it to starting to live from it. See, when a vision needs to be something that we're not looking to move into, it's something we're to start living like it already exists. This is why in Life Impact we teach the fact that your I am statements, I am strong, needs to be accompanied and attached to your five senses. Let's do a little exercise this morning. Stand up. This doesn't mean I'm through. Don't get excited. Everybody stand up. We're going to experience, let the weak say, I am strong. So we're going to attach some five senses to it. Are you ready to do this? Okay, number one, what would it look like to be strong? Show me strong. Come on, show me, hold that pose. Show me strong. I'm strong. I'm living from it, not to it. What it looks like to be strong. What would it feel like to be strong? Come on, give me a feeling for strong. All right, give me a feeling. That's what it would sound like, feel like, look like to be strong. You're starting to experience being strong. You're living out of your future instead of living out of your past. Okay, hang on. We're going to attach all five senses to this. What would it taste like? What would strong taste like? Now, I'll tell you what it would taste like to me. It's about a 6-ounce ribeye. That would be strong to me. Now, for some of you, that wouldn't work. But what? Give me something. Just scream it out. What would it taste like to be strong? Jalapenos. All right. Anybody else? Protein. Okay. Somebody else. What would it taste like to be strong? Okay. Now, here's where people get tripped up. What would strong smell like? I did this in one place, and the lady said, sweat. That's what it smells like to be strong. She happened to be a personal trainer, working people out. She knew what strong smelled like. When you attach your five senses to the experience, you're depositing it into your subconscious. And when you deposit it into your subconscious, guess what? Your mind, your brain, and everything about you, including the Holy Spirit, goes to work to accomplish your vision. Give God a great big praise offering. All right. Thank you. You can be seated. I'll get you excited again in a little bit, and you'll think I'm through, and I'm not. Okay, number 8, specificity. The more detailed your visual, the more specifically etched your brain will be about achieving the goal. You have to have a sense of specifics. What you want it to be. Just to say you want to be successful in business, it's too broad. Just to say you want a better relationship, too broad. You have to get down to the very specifics of what you want. We're going to get more more detailed about that here in a moment. Number nine, got to write it down. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts about, hang on to this, 40 seconds in your brain. That's why sometimes here in church, you'll get a great idea or you'll think the message was great, and you get outside and you remember it was great, but you don't remember what was great. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I enjoyed that message so much. It was very powerful. I said, what part do you remember the best? Well, I don't know. It was just felt good and it was exciting. So we lose it if we don't write it down. In fact, Habakkuk chapter 2, the prophet was told to write down his vision. Now, I'm going to get to that a little further. Here's what some research shows, that 80% of the goals that you write down, you accomplish. If you don't write them down, you will accomplish 20%. It's the 80-20 rule. And so writing it down is something that increases the optimum of making it happen. Visualization crystallizes possibilities into articulate ideas. The experience, again, changes the brain. A vision serves as a guide, an inspiration to the way to realize and live from it, not living to it. When you program your system with visualized goals, you create structural tension in your brain. It's called cognitive dissonance. The difference between where you are and where you visualize and affirm. The brain then strives to end this tension by actualizing the goal. Structural tension in your brain will do the following. It will create new ideas. See, when you get that thing, that vision identified, articulated, and you're calibrating your mind and your spirit and your subconscious, all of that, you're calibrating it all together. New ideas are going to start coming to you. See, your mind is going to open up. And I believe the work of the Holy Spirit then starts giving you creative ideas of how to do whatever it is that your vision is. Number two, helps you see things in your environment that you didn't see before. See, opportunities are hidden from people that have no vision. You don't see possibilities. You don't see opportunities. You don't see the things that are before you. But when you get a clear vision, you start seeing the environment differently. Instead of it being against you, you see it working for you. Instead of the devil always beating you up, you see Jesus and the Holy Spirit working to provide what it is that you're looking for and needing. So we get this acclimated and we open ourselves up to seeing what we could not see before. Sometimes we're so focused on our problems, we can't find our solutions. There in Habakkuk chapter 2. If you're not familiar with that, I encourage you to go back and read the book of Habakkuk. It's just three chapters, won't take you long. But Israel was in trouble. They had left God again, and they were in trouble. And Habakkuk was really complaining before God about the conditions and how things were. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, he makes his complaint. He makes his complaint known to God. Let me see if my phone knows who I am. It did. That's a good thing. But I want to go here to Habakkuk chapter 2 and share it with you. And if you read that whole thing, it gets a little depressing. But in chapter 2, he says, what's God going to say to my question? I'm braced for the worst. Let me tell you, if you're in the flesh, you go before God, you're always going to expect the worst. But God's always going to give you his best. Can I say that again? Your flesh is always going to expect the worst, but God will always give you his best. He said, I'll climb to the lookout tower and scan the horizon. I'll wait to see what God says, how he will answer my complaint. Now, Habakkuk did a great thing here. He said, I'm going to climb up in a big tower, and I'm going to look at the horizon. I'm going to quit looking at what's going on around here. Anybody hearing me this morning? Are you so busy looking around at what's going on around you, how other people are behaving, how things aren't working out, the problems, all the things that are wrong, that you cannot see what God wants to do? Climb up in your spiritual tower above the world and start looking at the horizon. You see, the horizon is as far as we can see, but God knows what's on the other side of the horizon. And he told Habakkuk, keep looking until you get the vision. Keep, and I'm gonna come back to that in a minute. I don't want to mess myself up here. Okay, so the third thing is that visualization provides motivation to take action. What is coming out of you is always more motivating than what's going on around you. We teach three things in Life Impact about motivation. There's actually three kinds of motivation. There's the you better do it or you're gone. Shape up or ship out. That's one kind of motivation. Another kind of motivation is the stick and the carrot. We're always chasing something that we can't quite get to, but we keep trying to do it. It's incentives. But neither one of those two are very lasting. The third one is your passion, your purpose, what's inside of you. When you have internal motivation, you won't let external circumstances deter you. You're going to figure out how to get there, and you're going to trust God to get you there. So now we're going to look at what the enemy of vision is. The enemy of your vision is passivity. I told the 9 o'clock services, you may have heard me say this before, one of my pet peeves in the body of Christ is people that don't know what they want. And you'll say, what is your goal? What do you want to happen? I don't know. Just whatever God wants. Now, I've never slapped anybody yet. I've wanted to. I just want to say, pop, wake up. See, the Bible tells us that God will give us the desires of our heart. If you don't know what you want God to give you, you're going to keep sitting there on the stool of passivity and never accomplish anything. Now, well, I don't want to make a mistake. Oh, give me a break. You've made plenty of mistakes. Sitting on the stool of passivity is a mistake. God's bigger than your mistakes. I appreciate what Rhonda said this morning. God is bigger than your mistakes. He's bigger than your sin. He's bigger than your doubts. He's bigger than your fears. So get off of the fear of making a mistake and see what God wants to do with it. He will help you beyond your wildest imagination. So here we get into Psalms 37 and 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's the last part of this verse, but I want to open up the whole context of this. He says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Don't follow after the wicked ones or be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment they're better off than you. They and their short-lived success will soon shrivel up and quickly fade away like grass clippings in the hot sun. Keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in his eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God, and you will be secure feasting on his faithfulness. Make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. Now, I want to turn this passage upside down, because he's really telling us here where to get our desires from and where not to get them from. See, desires are very interesting. Desires come out of the things that we focus on, that we look at. Now, one of my favorite stores, and be very transparent here, one of my favorite stores is Best Buy. I love technology. I'm not good at it, but I love it, okay? I love technology. And I love to go into Best Buy. Now, I did not know that I needed a new television. But I kept walking through the television department of Best Buy. The more that I walked through the television department of Best Buy, the more I recognized how much I needed a new TV. So it wasn't hard for me starting to find things wrong with my old one. And I had this desire birthed in my heart. Now, there's a meaning behind the word desire. It simply means to give birth. See, when you get something in your heart, it's like a pregnancy. It's going to get birthed at some time. So be careful what you desire. Now, did I get a new TV? Absolutely. I got the desire of my heart. Okay, so what you focus on will determine your desires. How many here remember getting, just before Christmas, about maybe this time of the year, a little earlier, the old Sears and Roebuck catalog? Remember those? How many remember those? I want to see how many people are as old as I am in the house. Sears and Roebuck or JCPenney. And we'd look through those catalogs. I remember as a kid looking through those. I found things I desired I didn't even know existed. But as I would flip through the catalog, my heart, the things that I was focusing on, became the desire of my heart. This is why we have to be careful what we're focusing on, because your focus is going to create the desires of your heart. That's why I said in the beginning, any vision won't do. You got to get your vision from the right place. Sharon and I was doing a little shopping the other day and picking up some things that we needed. And we picked up a few things we didn't know we needed. But as we were walking through the store, we saw, it'd be nice. That's okay. We'll get that. And when we got up to the clerk to check out, she said, "Did you find everything that you needed?" I said, "Yeah, we found a few things we didn't know we needed." But see, it creates desire. So we have to be careful. I want to tell you, here's what this scripture is saying to us. I told you I wanted to turn it upside down. Don't get your desire from the world's point of view. Don't get your desire from the wicked ones and be jealous of their wealth. Don't think for a moment that they're better off than you. They're short-lived. Then verse 3, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your eyes on the promises of God, and here's where your desires are going to come from. See, if you are shopping in the right place, you will come up with the right desires. What we need to do in the kingdom of God is to recognize what God is doing. It's what he told Habakkuk, climb up on the high tower, look beyond your present circumstances, and let me show you what I want to do. Your vision has got to be bigger than your current circumstances. Your vision has got to be bigger than just the immediate need that you have in your life. One of the things that I remember Pastor Maiden saying when we first started attending CFTN, he said, if you're just focusing on your need, you're bringing God down to your need. If you're focusing on God and His kingdom, He'll bring you up to His supply and provision. So we got to get our eyes off of what is down here and seems so immediate and get our eyes on what God wants to accomplish. So make sure you're shopping in the right place. That's where your desires are going to come from. Now here's where we need to calibrate some of our vision. Anything we don't understand, we tend to want to criticize. Anything we don't understand, sometimes we even want to demonize. I was doing a class yesterday morning for a process that we've made available to our transformational coaches on helping people on their journey to wholeness. And here's one of the things that I told them. It's so easy for us to criticize and demonize what we don't understand that we miss what God is trying to do. Now, I was around in the Jesus movement, and our denomination condemned it. This is, you know, they didn't fit our mold. So we missed a great harvest in our denomination that I was in at that particular time because our calibration, our vision was not calibrated. Now, here's something really happened. Now, some of you will remember this. What we call nominal churches, generally that's the Baptists, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, all of those that are not like us. You know, we kind of demonized them. Well, don't feel too bad because they were demonizing us. Because they were saying all this stuff about healing and speaking in tongues and prophecy. That was all of the devil. See how easy it is for us to demonize something and people and movements that we don't understand. Because our calibration, our vision is not calibrated correctly. And we can't see what God is doing. Instead of being critical of what God is doing in other camps or our camp, we need to open our eyes and see what God is doing. Because when you look at what God is doing, that's the vision, that's the desire you're going to get in your heart. So instead of going to Best Buy and shopping in the television mode, in the television area, maybe we just need to get in here and see what God is doing in the kingdom of God. Instead of being critical of what others are doing, let's just ask, what is God doing in them? They may dance up here during the worship, and that may not be you. Well, that's because that's not an extenuation of you. Maybe that could be an extenuation of you if you'd get your feet moving. If you just push your old self aside and step into the... Now, I'm not telling you all of you have to get up here and dance. I'm just simply saying shop in God's kingdom and see what God is doing. You may not believe in healing, but if you hang around here long enough, it'll become a desire of your heart to be healed by the power of God. You may not believe in the prophetic, but if you hang around here long enough in this department store, you're going to find out God can speak to you right where you are and show you what's next in your life. You may not be so much in giving, but if you hang around here long enough, you're going to find out that's a gift that God has that He wants to impart to the body of Christ, and the desire will be birthed in your heart that you can have the desire of your heart filled. Give Him a great big praise offering. Proverbs 29:18, I've just read it to you, but I'm going to read it to you from the Message translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. See, sometimes we're so caught up in our critical mentality, our critical mindset, that we can't see what God is doing. Now, I just watching things here is a blessing to me as I see what God is doing. One of our children this morning in the 9 o'clock service was over here, and he, I can tell you what his purpose is. His purpose and passion is drumming. He's about 4 or 5 years old, but he's over here playing drums just like they were playing the drums back here. He had a beat going, and his passion was coming out. Now, in my old school, old times, we wouldn't have asked what God is doing. We'd have said, set that boy down. We would have stopped his passion and set him down. And that's what my dad would have done to me. Get that boy under control. See, sometimes instead of seeing what God is doing, we want everything to fit into our little proper mold. So as I was watching him, I was thinking, God, what a powerful experience he's having right here, right now, pounding out a beat to the worship music. Thanking God that he's pounding out a beat to worship music instead of pounding out a beat to some other kind of music where the passion and that God has for him is being birthed in him, and God will give him the desire of his heart. See, when we let the desire, the earlier we let the desire be birthed in our children, the greater it's going to be that they experience it early in childhood. I'm about to get into preaching mode instead of the nuts and bolt mode. Let me give you at least two major obstacles that have to be calibrated for you to see your vision for 2020. Number one, now don't be fooled by two categories. I'm a preacher. I can expand two categories all day long. Okay, but I'll abstain as much as I can. Two major obstacles that keep you from reaching your goal. One, this is probably the most major of all. When your goals and your beliefs are in conflict. See, our belief system has been downloaded into us at a very early age. Most of what you believe was downloaded before you were 6 years of age. So a lot of things that were said to us become part of our belief system. A lot of the things that we did to keep our children protected become later in life become constraints to their faith and constraints to their success in the world. Let me give you an example of one, and it's important that we do this. In our children, we teach them stranger danger. Now, in our culture today, we have to do that. Stranger danger. And we tell them not to talk to strangers. And then when they grow up and they want to be in sales, they can't talk to strangers. Oh, I get petrified talking to strangers. Somebody forgot to change their belief system. So some of the things that we take in, consciously, subconsciously, positive, negatively, unintended to be either way, becomes part of our belief system. So in our belief system, if it's in conflict with our goals, then we will sabotage the goal. If we want to calibrate our vision, we've got to calibrate our beliefs. See, the world operates on a deserving system. What we deserve. So when it comes to some of our vision and the blessing of God and the power of God, we fall into this trap, I don't deserve. Anybody besides me felt that? I don't deserve it. See, that is the world system. The world system wants to sell you on what you deserve and keep from you what you don't deserve. So the world will tell you, I hear all of these commercials, cosmetic commercials and other kind. It says, you need to buy this because you deserve it. See, it's not about deserving in the kingdom of God. It's about God's desire to give. It's not based on your behavior. It's not based on how good you are, how much you've read the Bible, how many times you've been to church, how many times you have prayed. It's not based on that. That's all good stuff, but that's not what gets you the blessing of God. The blessing of God comes because God wants to bless. And he's looking for a place to put his blessing on. The world didn't deserve Jesus. We're celebrating his birth this month. The world didn't deserve him, but God so loved that he gave. And God is still so loving that it is his nature to give, and he's looking for a recipient to receive the gift that he had. Are you willing to be that recipient? If you are, you got to recalibrate your brain. It's not because you deserve it. It's because he is a God of grace, and he is a God of mercy, and he is a God of love, and he is a God of giving, and he is a God that wants to pour out himself on you. Give him one more praise offering this morning. Okay. I want to give you four things to help you identify hidden beliefs, because most of the time our negative beliefs are hidden. We wouldn't even acknowledge we have them. But I want to give you four ways of acknowledging. I'm pretty good there. Four ways of acknowledging hidden beliefs. And it's always the result of your destructive behaviors. Destructive behaviors are the revelation of hidden destructive beliefs. So here they are. When your behaviors are in conflict with your goals, you're most likely functioning out of hidden beliefs. We can set a goal and then behave differently from that. We're unique in our humanness in that category. So not behaving in a way to reach your goal is a way of understanding you've got a hidden belief. Now, when you have a behavior you don't want, I want to give you some ways to calibrate here. Instead of condemning, shaming, judging, or making yourself guilty, use compassion, curiosity, and respect. Three things that'll calibrate your vision. Instead of condemning your behavior, you get curious. What would I have to be believing to behave this way? What belief system? What is it that I'm internally believing? Now, once you ask that question, get ready, because the Holy Spirit will tell you. So don't get upset with the Holy Spirit for telling you. Get it as a gift and recognize God's wanting to help you. The second one, when your feelings are not proportionate to your current reality, you're most likely responding from a belief system that's being triggered. I had a mom contact me recently who has parenting her 11-year-old daughter, and she said to me, I need help in my parenting because I'm parenting my daughter the same way I was parenting, that I was parented. She said, I'm lashing out for reasons of no consequence. Her actions, her feelings were not proportionate to the stimulus, what was going on. She said, and I know it. I'm lashing out. I'm being angry. I'm raising my voice, and I don't want to do that. See, her belief system was so calibrated earlier in life that it needs to be recalibrated. So I've been working with her on how she wanted to respond instead of how she doesn't want to respond. So I got to move on. If your thoughts are not concurrent with your present situation, then you're in a painful memory and belief system. That's why I developed these four ways of removing toxicity. And I've adapted this from Dr. Carolyn Leaf's, some of her material. And so some of you are familiar with her study on neuroscience. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. You've got to recognize we call it catching yourself in the act in life impact. You got to recognize your behavior that when it's not congruent with what is more appropriate at the situation. So if your thoughts are not congruent with your present situation, you may have toxic thoughts or toxic emotions, toxic behaviors, toxic habits. Those are the four things that we're going to give to you this morning. So emotional hijacking is number four. When your emotions get hijacked, it's not because of the current situation. It's because of a belief system that is driving your behavior. I had a client a number of years ago who would get emotionally hijacked and go out and beat his car up. He literally took a ball bat and would beat out his headlights and beat out his windshield. And then he'd get it all fixed, get emotionally hijacked again, and do the same thing again. So it's not all that unusual that people do that. They throw things, they break furniture, they get emotionally hijacked because there's a negative belief system that is driving their behavior. If you don't get those healed, recalculated, they will sabotage what God wants to do in you in 2020. How many want to take opportunity of this unique time in history and see what God wants to accomplish in your life? Go ahead, give him a great big praise offering this morning. Number two, the second thing that will keep you from reaching your vision is a spirit of criticism. I talked a little bit about this already, but it's so easy for us to fall into a spirit, a lifestyle of criticism. Let me say something to you this morning that's a universal truth. You'll never rise to the level of the people that you criticize. You'll never rise to the level of the people that you criticize. See, you need to start seeing what God is doing and quit looking at what people are doing. Are you familiar with the fact that God often uses imperfect people? Can I change the word often? God always uses imperfect people because there are no perfect people. Perfection is a work of the flesh and always trying to prove that it doesn't need God. That's what perfection is. If you could be perfect, you wouldn't need God's blood. You wouldn't need God's grace. You wouldn't need God's mercy. But I got a news flash for you this morning. You're not perfect, and it's okay, because we've got a perfect God that was without sin, who gave his life on the cross and shed his blood so that your imperfect state could be seen as perfect in the eyes of God, and the just live by faith, not by perfection. Go ahead, give him one more great big praise offering this morning. Let me give you a little insight. Criticism and blame are generally signs that you're hitting your ceiling. You're getting outside of the comfort zone. Now, I've had you do this before, but I'm going to have you do it again this morning. Everybody do this. Make two parallel lines. Use your hands. Make two parallel lines. So you live your life between those two lines. The bottom one is the floor. That's as bad as you'll let things get. Boy, if you fall below your floor, you go to work. If it's finances, you'll get another job. You'll sell stuff. Because you want to get back up above that floor. If it's your relationship, you'll get help. If it's your health, you'll get busy. And you'll get yourself back up here. The top one is your ceiling. That's as good as you're going to let things get. Wow. Why would we have a ceiling? We have a ceiling because if we go beyond our ceiling, that's just not us. It's not a continuation of us. It's totally somebody else. Let me tell you, God's not in the business of making you a better version of your old self. He's in the business of transforming you into somebody you have never been. But if you don't have the vision, you can't get there. Okay, I don't have time to unpack all of that. And thank you for showing up at 11 because the 9 o'clock service didn't get that part. Okay, so criticism and blame is a good indication that you're bumping up against that ceiling. And you don't, it's scary to get up there because that's not you. That's not the way you've been. So you'll sabotage it. If it's your relationship, you'll sabotage it. I've had people, I know Judy have had people that come to counselors tell me my marriage is better than it's ever been. Then the next week they come back and tell me they had the biggest fight they ever had in their life. It's because they don't know how to live better than it's ever been. Can I tell you, God's grace will help you live better than it's ever been if you'll trust His grace. All right, I'm about to get carried away. I also want to tell you that criticism and blame is as addictive as any drug. It becomes an addictive behavior. Okay, I'm going to read you a verse here. And remember, I asked you in the beginning to get one clear vision of what you wanted God to do in your life in 2020. So I hope you're formulating that. So here's a way of calibrating. A way of calibrating is celebrate God all day, every day. I mean revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praise shape your worries into prayers. Here's calibration. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And then here he says, summing it up, I'm reading from Philippians 4 and verse 8 to 9. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you all do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent, harmonious plans. Is that where you want to be this morning? Give God another big praise offering. All right. I want you to stand with me, and I hope all of you will participate in what I'm about to do. I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone. So if you're saying, that's just not me, I don't do stuff like this, get over it. Get over yourself and step into a new paradigm. Okay? So I want everybody to get a partner, and I'd prefer it wasn't your spouse. Everybody get a partner. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell the partner, one of you be first, the other one, of course, be second, what your vision is for 2020. I'm going to give you about almost a minute to do that, okay? So turn to them and tell them, verbalize it, get it out of your mouth. My vision for 2020, just use one, we don't have time, but just use one. Your vision for 2020. Just one at a time. Okay, everybody stop. Hopefully you've got it out there. It's in the atmosphere. Now, you, the listener, the one that was hearing the other one, I want you to prophesy back to them what their vision is. Speak it back to them as all it's already happened. So go ahead. Speak it back to them right now. Just speak the word over them, whatever that vision was, as though it has already happened.